Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion to approve the payment of bills from September 25th and October 15th abstracts.
Motion.
All in favor? Good. Public comment. Barbara?
Hi, I'm here to talk about the building on my block, and it's the one that burnt down since Simpson for bad check. And so now it's an abandoned property. There's piles of garbage in the back, mostly tires, which can be dangerous if it's on fire, and nobody mows the lawn. And it's unsightly, really, and, you know, I'm right next to it. Just wondering if there's anything that can be done.
Can you remind me the address?
Simpson's property.
29 Prospect.
Okay, thanks.
The tires have been added, correct? Because Mr. Sider took them all out of there.
We cleaned it up once.
Oh.
But, so the tires have been added, they've been bringing more stuff in?
I went there and I don't know, I didn't see there were tires.
So Rob, what is our responsibility and what can we do?
Well, we can take a look at it and go after property maintenance code violations.
So that's not Lee anymore, that's gonna be our police officer.
Okay, yeah.
So we have to inform them. Now, just bear with me for a minute here, I'm gonna walk everybody through this. Since Simpson has passed away, the guy that owns the property passed away. Is KeyBank on the hook for all this?
If they have a mortgage, yeah, there's, New York passed what's known as the zombie property law, and they're supposed to have property, you can Google it, and it'll take you to their webpage, Department of Banking. And they're supposed to, if reported, take care of the property, secure the property, if they have a mortgage on it.
And they still do have the mortgage on that, correct? KeyBank still does. So who writes that letter, you?
Normally it would come from code enforcement, but yeah, we can record it since Lee's the internal.
Alright. So that's where we'll start.
What address again, 29?
29 Prospect.
The police force has now taken over the code enforcement part of Lee's job, yeah. That's, in the grander scheme of things, we hope it's gonna work well. But we'll try this, and then Rob will write the letter to KeyBank, and we'll see what happens. I know in the past, we have billed them for snow shoveling, and they have paid the bill. Yeah. We'll see. We'll try it. Kristen?
So I'm also, to piggyback on Barbara, I'm talking about the 29 Church Street, which is the
Jim Marsh's house.
So that's on the side of my property. And there is probably, you might have seen, and I have pictures for everyone, a huge gaping hole in the roof of that. Recently, the fence, I'm assuming it's like following the courtesy law of the fence facing the right way, fell down, so I replaced the fence myself. Because there were herds of raccoons in and out of my backyard at any given moment, as well as deer from that property. There are rumors of kids going in there, there are rumors of people going in there to mitigate any kind of lawsuit, really, for Philmont if it's in their hands. I mean, if that collapses in the condition that it's in, it would be far more, you know, conducive to knock it down, I think. But I don't know where it is, as far as calling Columbia County, then getting told to go to Claverick, then getting told to go to Philmont. I just am curious where we are in the bigger picture with it as far as like, is it in the son's hands? I know it's in arrears for taxes. I mean, I've gotten a lot of information, but is it a zombie property? I looked into that new law as well, so.
There's no mortgage on it.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not gonna qualify for this, to get a bank to take care of it. It is on the list of county foreclosures. As I sit here, I don't know when that next round's gonna happen. After COVID, there was a moratorium on tax foreclosures. They changed all the laws, so that's honestly delayed all tax foreclosures about 3 years. This would probably would have been foreclosed upon by now.
Do you know what year it was for? It was?
Well, you have to be, they have to be 3 years arrears in county taxes, then the lien is filed, and then the process starts a foreclosure, which usually takes 2 years after that.
Yeah, I think Chris Brown had said, is it possible that they just finished 2017, or did
yes.
they? Yeah.
2017 orders gone to the court. So I don't know if Marsh property is in that round or the next round to happen.
Yeah.
So ultimately what happens is the county sells them on, they use an internet site now, Auctions International, and people bid on them, buy them, and hopefully fix them and rehab them or tear them down. I mean, it has some value as a lot in the village with water sewer, especially with the property values the way they are these days. So that's probably the most likely avenue that this will get taken care of. If it's dangerous in the meantime and your code officer looks at it and says something needs to be done, the village can secure it. Like you could put up a snow fence to keep people out, you could, you know, post it and do those sorts of things. But as you know, we've dealt with these before. You doing asbestos abatement, potentially prevailing wages, it's just not usually.
60 grand.
Yeah, it's not economically feasible for you to.
That's a lot. Yeah, it's just looking at it, it just seems frightening to see that it's.
We've been trying for a few years.
Yeah.
I don't think we couldn't even get, you know, even if we applied for a grant to take it down, we couldn't do it.
No.
Yeah. I just pulled up the email that we were on when we were discussing the restore.
Yeah.
It was, the grander scheme of things would be to have the county foreclose on it and give it to Habitat.
Yeah.
That's what the grander scheme of things is.
Okay.
We've tried that before, and they are interested.
Great.
Well, that's where that stands. Sean?
I'm here today to speak to you about an issue that was going on that seemed to have been handled. The owner of 33 Main Street, and the back of my property, I have a right of way. We all know there's been issues with that with other people that live on that street. There's been a standoff between one local and another vehicle trying to pass through. For the day, they got taken care of by the bank. Another question I had is, what do I stop? How do I stop this in the future? People parking and why? I got stuck in the middle of it where I was being sent to the cop, and police coming down and questioning my property. About two people that don't own the property having problems passing by each other. I've had vehicles hit on that property, I've had threats made to me on it. Is there anything the village can do? Because when I say it's a right of way, it's the village's. I'm the one that pays the taxes on it, so I'm kind of stuck in limbo. Is there a sign that I can pay for to have the village approved to keep people from parking, out back, parking things, car trucks coming in, gas trucks, tow trucks, anything like that? Because I've had every piece I've seen in the past 2 years in my hands because it's a right-of-way access. From Philmont, it states where you can travel to and from, you know, park the load groceries or head. That provides parking spaces for everybody. Lawyers, lawyers, two set people. Nobody seems to really do anything about it, and I'm getting the kind of short end of the stick. So I'm hoping that I'll be back to get some help in the village. There's some kind of area of chance that I can do to make this stop.
What's the property?
33 Main Street.
And is it in your name?
Yes, it is. I have the tax ID, the tax map.
You probably pulled up by your last name, which helps. Yeah, I mean, the problem for you here is that it's privately owned, which you acknowledge, and it's not a street right away for like the village streets or sidewalks or sewer easements, so it's not yours to police, so to speak, which is why you get that response from police agencies.
So why do I have the police threatening that?
I don't know. I'm not party to that. I don't know what.
About a week, I've had police presence on my property, I'm in my place of business. This is a big lush.
Well, that...
I'm working two jobs, I don't have time to sleep, and now I've got police jumping down my throat to make it stop when I'm not even a part of it.
Yeah.
I've called police many times, that vehicle's moved, nobody does anything. I get threats, nobody does anything.
Yeah, that would be a discussion you'd have to have maybe the mayor with the police chief as to what... Was it the Village of Philmont Police, sheriffs, or state police?
All three.
Oh.
We're all aware of the situation. I'm trying not to be too public about it. I'm not trying to be upset on anybody's side, but I'm trying to stop this from happening again.
Yeah, the only thing is, the first time hearing of it, we can discuss it and see what we come up with as possible solutions or alternatives. The general rule is if it's a private right-of-way and somebody has a right-of-way in their deed over your property, that's between the two neighbors to figure it out somehow. If it's a nuisance lawsuit, if it's a lawsuit against neighbors, but that's not something the village doesn't go on private property and take care of that. I understand you've had police issues now, probably because they're threatening each other. So the police respond. So we can look into it from that aspect, but.
Well, I couldn't drive here tonight because there's a vehicle blocking the right-of-way access. So I'd walk on foot again.
Well, I didn't know that was a private right-of-way.
I didn't pull the deed or the title or anything, and I can do that after this meeting to get a better grasp of what's going on there.
I have all that here if it's helpful.
If you have copies you want to give me, that's fine.
These are all, well, I don't have copies anymore.
Boy, he can pull it then. He can pull it. Let him do some research, and we'll get back to you.
That's really bad you for how it turned out, but it seems to be within 24 hours, everything's starting to go back to how it was. And if there's a way that we can help these people so they don't park there, I'm more than happy. I mean, I gave them a parking area, 10 feet from where they're parking. They just refused to use it, and they, my life would have helped.
Mine too.
Yes. If we can stop that, I'm here to do anything to stop that and make everyone's life a living, you know, much better. This is very embarrassing and very irritating for me, and I'm sure you guys as well. And, that's all I have to say, and if there's anything I can do to help, I'm here.
Appreciate it. Kate?
Thank you again for the chance to talk. So last month I showed you these images of analog meter that most of us, many of us still have, and the digital meter with its rectangular screen. And these new digital meters, as you know, I've been saying, they present problems. If a digital meter has an FCC number on it, it's programmed as a smart meter to transmit data. And to transmit wirelessly to a truck at the road or to a main collection meter or to transmit via satellite, smart digital meters spike wireless radiation every few seconds or minutes, 24/7. It's not clear what third-party use and profit is made of the data, and data sent through the air is hackable with the right equipment. Electrical fires have been reported from smart meters. I've seen a study explaining how intersecting spikes of radio frequencies can cause the PVC casing of electric wiring to ignite, not necessarily near the meters. Usage is recorded at digital intervals, not seamlessly, and complaints about inaccuracy and bigger bills have been reported. And digital meters generate dirty electricity, DE, aka electromagnetic interference, EMI. The standard analog meters are reliable, long-lived, and have none of these downsides. About dirty electricity, many of our devices involve switching between AC and DC current, and this switching creates a hash of frequencies that are then carried along on the normal 60 hertz current. If there is a block on the cord, such as for this decked power charger, phone charger, decked phone charger, this is because switching mode is needed. Variable speed heaters, smart meters, solar panels, heat exchangers all need these conversions of the power supply. And this generates a lot of dirty electricity. Dr. Magda Havas, longtime researcher on health effects from wireless radiations, reported studies of dirty electricity remediation in schools where teachers and students complained of feeling sick. You may see her report in the pre-conference lecture on dirty electricity at the EMF Medical Conference 2021. When the levels of DE were remediated by filtering out the abnormal frequencies with special filters, the results were gratifying. I'll just share this much. Children with asthma stopped needing their inhalers. However, they still needed them at home. Students had more energy and no more migraines. Some building biologists are trained to evaluate and help remediate electrical, electromagnetic, and wireless pollution. However, I've heard that the large amount of DE from digital meters is very difficult to remediate sufficiently. In light of the planned rollout of smart meters in our area, I have begun crafting a health survey for our community based on the health survey results in Australia that I showed you last month. But in addition, it is important that our citizens know that if they can afford the $14 monthly fee to cover continued in-person meter reading, they can notify NYSEG that they want to keep their analog meter. However, NYSEG is able to receive meter readings via phone, texting, and email. Therefore, I think if an account holder is willing to provide the reading, I see no reason why meters cannot be left intact with no fee charge, and also to reinstall an analog meter for those who want one. New and refurbished analog meters are available on the market. But the word is that if NYSEG replaces your analog meter with a smart meter, they will not restore your analog. They will give you a non-transmitting digital meter instead with all its attendant problems. So just continuing, I'm trying to take more steps. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen?
I just wanted to thank the village for the work on the dam this month. It's been so reassuring to see the way the village prioritized fixing the dam and communicating to some degree with us about it, and I just wanted to thank you, and particularly thank Doug Cropper, who answered a lot of texts from me, answered a lot of questions from me, always responded to me. I think you all know like how upsetting it has been to so many people, how the lake looks, and I think there was a sort of assumption from people that I was talking to that nothing was happening, and it felt very positive to be constantly having conversations with people to let them know that the work was getting done and that the village was working hard on it. And so I just want to thank you all. Thank the DPW too for your
feedback. Thank you. Michael? Did I see him come in?
He's scratched. I'm off the list. He's not here tonight.
Alrighty. Now, we're going to go for opening the bids for the fuel and the propane. We'll do the fuel oil first. We have two. One from Harrington Fuels. $284 a gallon is fixed, and service call is $140 an hour plus parts. Next one is from Rabideau. Huh?
Can you open their home?
Doug's got a pocket knife in there if I need it. I left mine in the other room. So Maravito came in $277.03 fluctuating price as of 10/14. Labor is $144 an hour. For and the parts are parts have a 40% markup from Maravito. Doesn't say that Harrington's price didn't give a markup for the parts. It's $140 an hour.
For labor?
Yes.
So.
And we just got those two?
Yes. Yeah. Harrington's price is fixed.
Seems like a no-brainer. I think a motion we accept Harrington's as our provider.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fixed price.
That was fuel.
Yes, that's fuel oil. So we're going to go with Harrington's for the fuel since that was a fixed price. And a little bit cheaper on the
labor.
Labor. So now we go to propane, which again is from Harrington's. $1.75 gallon fixed, and again it's $140 for service. Again, there's only one more from Maravito. $1.84. Harrington's was
$175.
Maravito is $1.84 or $2.25 fixed. The $1.84 is a fluctuating price as of 10/14. Harrington's was a straight up $175 a gallon fixed.
Well,
so
I think we're there again.
That's a no-brainer again. Well, if anybody wants to see these. I need a motion to accept Harrington as propane supplier.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. If anybody wants to see these, I'll leave them on the desk and come up after the meeting. All right. Reports of committees. Rob?
And the only thing we discussed is there's going to be a motion tonight to renew your or to extend your cell tower lease at Forest Lake with American Tower. They made an offer to extend it out for a period of time from 2040 to 2076 with a 3% escalation clause in revenue and with a $15,000 signing bonus. So we've evaluated that in regards to other towers and other municipalities, and that's a good deal. So
yes, it is.
That's going to be on your motion, added to your motion list tonight. Other than that, just ongoing projects.
What's the company? It's American Tower?
When it was incepted with the village, it was Manny Vicente and Homeland Towers. And then it was bought by American Tower.
Tower. Okay, thanks.
That's it.
Clerk Treasurer?
Water and sewer bills are out on October 1st. They'll be by 31st without penalty. We worked with the Water Sewer Department on broken meter lists and readers, as the readers do. Compiled information for the Clean Energy Community Grant. Still working with Ring Square to try to get everything working properly. I completed a payroll information request for Neisler's for ELA Pfizer. Compiled information for the engineer regarding the dam. I worked with the contractor to get the bathroom floor updates completed. Sent union contract documentation to UPSEU for the upcoming bargaining agreement. We completed the sexual harassment workplace violence training. The office will be closed Tuesday, November 5th for Election Day, and it's going to be closed November 11th for Veterans Day.
Library report. Rain's not here.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The reference to the Clean Energy Community Grant, which one is that?
Whatever we just had done last month for you guys last minute.
That was the one that you called?
Yeah, that was the Clean Energy Community Grant.
That's the one you called me about.
With the vehicles and bills and, yeah.
So, library report, buildings and grounds, Harrington's came to do an estimate to replace 6 older windows as part of our DLD grant. DPW turned water off to the outside after it discovered a neighbor had been using it. Services and events, Claverick Philmont Libraries participated in the, as a team in the Mid-Hudson Middle School Battle of the Books. With 26 other teams, and they came in third place. Yard sale was a success. Windscapes is our current art exhibition. The show will be up for 6 weeks until November 9th. The reception was lovely and well attended. Art exploration has been very well attended with 10 to 12 kids each week. Grants, they made $331 at the yard sale. They had $2,500 from Arthur and Eileen Newman Family Foundation and $100 patron donation. It was 775 people in the library. 2,269 total circulation. The free fridge visits of 148, in-person programs 103, and they issued nine new library cards. Community center.
Can you do that one?
Yep, I do.
Okay, Julie's report for September. The facility was checked during the month and oil was ordered. Under programs, Columbia Green Addiction Coalition's program, she said will be held, but this is September's report. October 10th, to raise awareness and educate our community about addiction. Refreshments were provided, and she talks about the flyers and so on, all that work that was done to get that going. Scouts are meeting two times a month during the school year, and they booked additional hours as well for the center. Amelia McIsaac has submitted plans for a hat felting workshop. Flyers will be created and distributed, and plans are underway for a big truck day to be held November 2nd from 11 to 1. The event is being planned by me and Skip Speed. Thanks to all who are working to make this a success. Refreshments will be served, and flyers and social media posts are forthcoming.
That's it. Thanks. Vern's not here. I haven't seen him.
They didn't even send me a report, so I'm not sure.
Sally?
Hi, guys. So, good evening. I have the photo report from the Albert Law. He report. So, a meeting was held with the Rice and Lipka Architects and Star White House design team on September 11th in the village office, and it was attended by the mayor and Bob McFarlane and myself, and that was a meeting held to go over the schematic drawings before they went out to be cost estimated. And Rice and Lipka had various things that they needed to be aware of. Certain water lines were. It was a very dry technical meeting. So just the three of us did it. No need to for the committee to spend time doing that. And then those drawings went out to NESCO, which is the construction service company that has done the cost estimation. We answered questions like, where was the floating dock going to be? Brian mostly answered the questions. Was it going to be a fixed dock, a floating dock, those kind of things. They narrowed down in terms of the Canal Street parking lot. Two parking lots had to be given over to be able to make enough space for the loading dock for the woodworking studio. So the parking spaces went down to 49 in the parking space. And then various questions about location of utility. So that meeting resulted in the go-ahead from Brian for Rice and Lipka to submit the drawings for the cost estimator. Those draft drawings were then emailed to the DOS as under the grant contract requirements to be compliant. We got no comments back at all. It was perfectly fine. Very happy with that. No problem. No DOS problem.
There shouldn't have been.
No. So number three on the report is I had an initial meeting with Steve Benson on September the 17th. Steve Benson is the chair of the Zoning Board of Appeals, and Brian has appointed him to, has appointed Steve Benson to head up a committee that will be appointed by the village, which is going to be reviewing zoning and local laws as it pertains to selected sites in the Boa plan. But it's a little bit more complicated than that because everything, there are 17 selected sites, primary selected sites in the Boa, and they are in every single zoning district. So by concentrating on those buildings, which are, you know, some, there's a very, you know, quite a widespread difference between the buildings, we'll actually be able to, the committee will be able to hire a consultant to do the analysis, make the recommendations to the committee under Steve Benson's leadership, and then those recommendations will then be made to the village to change certain zoning, local laws. A lot of local laws need to ensure that the lake shorefront is protected, coastal management laws, all of those sort of things are going to come up. So that, anyway, Steve Benson and I had a very good meeting, and that project is on its way. I just finished the RFP. And it went out to Steve, no comments yet, and it'll be given to the borough committee and the village probably in the next 3 or 4 days. And then that will also go up to the DOS for their comments before that. So the local waterfront revitalization program plan, Labella cancelled again. We were supposed to have October 9th, and they cancelled again, and they have now scheduled for December 11th. The piece of work that they're doing right now, the scope of work, this chapter, is very dense. However, both the DOS and myself, we're actually meeting to our regular monthly check-in on the admin of the project, and we're going to be kind of looking at that, and we've asked Rebella to come through with a revised timeline. It's too many months now of cancelling. So we're not worried about the plan, but we need to get, you know, we there's a lot of work to get through on that watershed management plan, so we're kind of going to be right there and pushing them at this point. And then the historic district updates, PB&T assisted two more properties of owners wanting to access the preservation tax credits. So one homeowner tax credit, so that's the state tax credit, 20%. And then we actually assisted a property owner who is renovating a barn, a carriage house. So we assisted them to be able to apply for the barn grant because their building is in the historic district. So they really need to get that help. So we have now assisted 9 property owners increased, so we're now at 9 property owners. There are other buildings obviously being renovated, but they haven't, you know, they've either gone on the website, looked at all the information, and then gone ahead to access those. But so far we've assisted 9 since February.
And that's great.
Yeah, no more coming. Yeah. One last week, so that will be another one in next week's.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody seems to be very pleased, you know, with how it goes, their interaction with SHPO, very easy, no complaints, you know, so it's actually getting access. So only 225 buildings to go.
Yeah.
There are 236 buildings, no, 326 buildings that are eligible.
Better than none.
What?
It's better than none.
It's fantastic to see it, you know, it's like great, you know, and so everybody seems to be very happy with getting that tax credit, you know, so anything that can help, you know. That's my report.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pano.
Yes, number of things to report, and as most of you probably know by now, Philmont has achieved bronze certification under the Land of Smart Communities. So there are 2 plaques. Have you seen them?
Yes.
Okay.
Should I go get them?
We have to decide where.
Yeah, you can get one of them.
Yeah, they're very pretty.
Okay. Yeah, where to go.
We're going to put them on the sign up by Pine Haven next to the Purple Heart sign on the Welcome to Village of Philmont, and it'll go underneath that next to the Purple Heart sign, and then we'll put one down here on 217 just as you come into the village.
Okay, we were thinking because they're not designed for cars and from cars going by on the road, it's not usable, that one should go maybe just inside this building. Because no one's going to be able to read it from the road.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I can't read it from here.
Can't read it.
Sorry.
You need glasses. I do have glasses. I can.
Well, then,
I've seen one of those books.
You tell us where you want them and we'll put them there.
Okay. Well, we'll have to meet again.
Yeah.
Because that did come up in our meeting because of how they're designed. They're just not. It's not really road size. Well, I'll do some research and see where
other
towns,
people.
Because every town gets the same size sign. So. All right, and then get back to you on that one. Also, then that was one milestone, and the second milestone is we got the number of threshold credits for the NYSERDA grant that makes us eligible for the NYSERDA grant. So I'm going to emphasize that word eligible. There are things going on with NYSERDA that no one can answer me what exactly it is. And I haven't heard from them yet to apply for it. That's why I jumped on you. I thought, oh, maybe it came into you.
Oh, okay.
So this would be the notification. I'm not sure who's going to get it, that they would like to start the process since we are now eligible. And this is the big grant. So I watch my emails, but I think either Jess or maybe Deborah.
Right, we'll keep an eye.
Or Haley. Haley might
get it first. This is for the 100,000, and we've been advised by Haley to apply as soon as we get approval because it's with. NYSERDA, it's like the money's there until it runs out kind of thing.
Right. So there is that caveat that we're competing with lots of other municipalities, so we don't know exactly what's going to happen. So.
And I just say it was just such a heroic effort by the end. It looked like up until the very morning of the application due date that we were not, in terms of the points, if we had gotten the points by a certain date by the end of the month, we were eligible for an additional $25,000. And we were scrambling for 3 days. And even the morning of, Michael, Tom and I, we were just, and Haley, it didn't, you know, we thought we're just not going to do it. And by the end of the day, with the help from the office and everything, we got it in. And that.
Yeah, I want to make a shout out to Jess and Chrissy.
Yeah.
Because we literally came in on the last day and they dropped everything. There was some things missing on the meat report, and they dropped everything and put it all in, and we got it in on time. So I really appreciate the help from the office. Okay, so moving on to the climate adaptation and resiliency plan. That work is still going on, and that's Lindsay Strelo Holway from Cornell Extension she's getting close to having everything together. In light of the unprecedented damage from recent hurricanes, especially in North Carolina, that opened the discussion more, since Philmont is not Asheville, but it has aspects that are similar. It's a hilly place with water running through it.
Mm.
So things like road blockages, lack of utilities, lack of communications, evacuation and refuge are all issues that could happen in Philmont. So we want to be sure that we're adding those things to So she said she would like to meet with people at the trustee level who are involved in emergency services once she has the draft materials together. So Joe Cropper's name came up, Jason's name came up, and it would be great if we could get both of you, because you both have different ways of looking at these problems, to see what the information says. The next step is then to have meetings, possibly at the library, the website, social media, all of those avenues to get this information out so everyone in Philmont knows what they need to do should we have this type of crisis. The other thing is to include what's called a RAC card in the next water bill. Just let people know that this information is out there and where they can get further information. When is the next water bill? When would you need that by?
So January, probably like December, I think is it. Yeah. Like towards like, well, we're getting, like, I'd say like mid through December. Just don't wait till the last second. That's a lot. We start putting all the flyers, doing all the flyers and stuff that we can in advance. So.
Just being
contact with us.
Yeah, no, just have some ideas. So I'll let them know. We may not need that one. So can we get Doug and Jason to maybe, I have to get a date from Lindsay when she's ready. It sounded like she was very close, so if possible, it'll be at our next meeting. We can do it in person. We've done it on Zoom and in person. Whatever to accommodate you guys. Do you do Zoom? I don't know. Okay. So
we're happy just to show up, right? We'll go.
Yeah, yeah.
Just let us know what time.
Okay. And you don't. And we always put her on first, so you don't have to stay for the whole meeting. Just to see this material. She's really working hard on it, so it would be great to get your input. All right, so I'll let you know.
Middle of November?
Yeah, it's the second Wednesday in November is our regular meeting.
At?
We have been meeting at the library.
At what time?
That's at 5.
You'll email us about
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, I don't know yet if she's going to be ready for that or not, but I will ask her.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Great. So for the village hall, and this is now a NYSERDA again, we were trying to get a matching grant for the money we already have from the Valley Partners for Climate Action. And NYSERDA turned us down. And the consultant was really surprised because all the other jobs he's been working on, they've done this match. company that's got that going on at NYSERDA. So his company, it's a big engineering firm, it's CHA, so they pulled out. He said we can't do it for less than $30,000. He did, though, make a recommendation, and that is Matt Arison. Matt Arison was the consultant who did the original energy audit on this building. He has now started his own company. So I've met with him, and he said that he can do it for less. I said, why can you do it for less? And he says, I have no overhead. I said, are you working out of your car? You mean you don't have any overhead? He's a little scattered, but he really knows his stuff. I can tell by talking to him. From the engineering point of view, my concern is he doesn't have it from the architectural side, in other words, the building approach side. So I got him to agree to contact John Larcher. I don't know if anyone knows him. He used to live in Belmont. Very familiar with it. So I think with the two of them working together, we can get a very good study roadmap going forward. So we do have some NYSERDA does match 20% of the carbon emissions from this building. It's how they mix money and carbon emissions. No one can answer that. But I said, so how much is that? And they said it would be about $3,500. We have 3,200 from the energy audit we didn't use. So we're about at 22,000 now. plus we have two grants that we haven't used the money for yet. So if it gets close to that 30,000 again, we have the money, but I think it will be less. So I'm waiting for the proposal to come in from Matt Arison. He knows, I said we have to return the money if we don't get this going by January 15th, so he knows about that deadline. So hopefully I will hear from him soon. We then want to get the study going for the PV panels on the sewage treatment plant. So we have one member who's working on that, and we just know who do we need to meet with so that these companies can get on site to take a look.
Either Cliff or I.
Okay. All right. Let me see what date you're getting set up for that. And this is just the first look.
Yeah.
Just because that to get something going compared to a few years ago when it was done, just to see what these other companies might be able to come up with. For the EV charging station, it is working again in a peculiar way. It's still very expensive. So we had a meeting, and we're leaning now towards not replacing this one because level two chargers are going to become obsolete. And it doesn't make money to put that much money into it. This makes sense to put that much money into a level two charger. So we're looking at the fast chargers. They're quite expensive, probably around $100,000. So we're looking at doing a public-private partnership with Cumberland Farms. They have the room. The county has done a study of the grid, and they have the power there. You can see the box right in the back. They have at least three spaces where they just have that lawn. Where a supercharger could be put in. So we're just at the very beginning stages of that, but I basically need the village's permission because this would have to be with the village. And a public-private partnership means some money is going to be put up by the private company. There may be a smaller amount of money put up by whatever grants we can get for this. But there's also, there are lots of other benefits doing a public-private partnership. So that's why we're looking at that alternative. Deborah, you have a...
Yeah, I was just going to add that, you know, what's very appealing about these super fast chargers, the what is it, the DC chargers, is that that's really what brings people off, will bring people off the Taconic. When I'm traveling with my EV, I just look at the DC chargers, and it has the potential to bring somebody into Philmont, several people into Philmont for 3 hours or 2 or 3 hours.
Chargers are working now?
And that's the only thing I wanted to correct. The charger is not working.
I can't.
It just hasn't yet started working again. In order to get it, the question is whether we want to spend the money on getting it to work again. I think I can get it to work again for $350 if we change out the, like, this is the wrong word for it, but some, like, motherboard thing. I'd take that out, send it in, they'll send me a new one. But we would have to pay the $500 software membership fee for the year, and I don't know that it's worth it. I don't know. Maybe it is worth it. So we have to talk about that. We have the money to do the to get it working again. But again, it's a question of will people use it.
Yeah, so we'll talk again in the meeting.
Okay.
I think it does make sense to try and get it working.
To get it working.
Someone told me they used it. I don't know how they used it, but okay.
Well, see, that's...
Yeah, because we're not getting fees if anybody was using it.
I don't think people are using it.
I don't know if they're bypassing
it. I'll bring my car over there and try to charge it and see what happens.
All right.
Do you need that cord then that we had purchased for the chargers?
What's the cord? There's a key. There's some keys that I would need.
Yes, that we have. But there was a cord or something.
Also a cord? Oh.
Something about plugging into it.
Right. For my computer in order to. So, did we get it?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah, we've had it.
Great. Okay. We just dropped the ball. Yeah. Go ahead.
So the last item is the changing out the water lines throughout the village. It's become a hot topic again because the Inflation Reduction Act monies that are available to do it, especially for communities like this that don't have a whole lot of money for infrastructure. It would be disruptive. because you're changing out all of the lines up to the connection for wherever the residence or business connects into the pipes. But as these studies continue, any amount of lead level, I mean, Philmont typically tests low for lead level, and it's in the acceptable range. But of course, that's water coming out before it gets into the pipes. I mean, I've done my own testing after the pipe, and it's still a low reading, but there's evidence that any amount of lead is harmful. So that's why there's this being offered programs to change out the water system. We are swamped right now at the moment, but it does come up in our meetings, and if someone comes along who wants to work on this, would the village be open to it?
We don't have any lead water lines.
We have no lead lines.
No.
No. And
our mains are not lead at all.
And the tests are done at taps, like they've come to my house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if any small amount of lead would be found out of my tap, it would probably be because lead solder was used in my house.
And the water main going up Main Street is new. Well, yeah. New, I say, how many years ago, Jeff? 30. So it's new. The water lines in the lower part of the village are all galvanized. We have never run.
What is the new pipe made out of?
Huh?
What is the new pipe made out of?
New pipe is either ductile iron or plastic.
And what is the pipe made out of that goes from that to the tap in the house?
Most of them are iron.
Most of them are iron and copper.
Okay.
We don't have any lead.
Okay, so you remember my house when that got dug up, that was an iron pipe. It certainly wasn't copper. No way was that copper.
It wasn't lead.
Okay.
All the lead that you're getting is coming from inside the house somewhere.
No, my readings are very low.
Yeah.
That matches. Okay, just wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's not an issue.
No. I do know of a few houses that have lead goosenecks going through the foundations.
Mm-hmm.
They used to use them through the stone foundations mm-hmm. because they were easier to push through because they were flexible.
Right.
But there are very few of them left also.
Okay.
Once people realize they have them, they get them changed out.
Yeah. Okay. Not an issue.
Is that it?
That's it.
Perfect. You got Robin's report or no report?
Well, the report is that we've had continued delays, but we do have something that we are looking at, and we are meeting on Thursday of this week. We have we're looking at the vision language for the comprehensive plan. This is for the comprehensive plan update, and we've had a number of delays, but I think we're still on track to finish by the end of the year and adopt by early next year, they tell us. And so that's the update.
Okay. DPW water and my report. Well, it's been a pretty busy month, to say the least. We had a tank inspection. It was our 1 year anniversary, so we got a tank inspection for the water tank. We're just waiting for results on that. Dan Valentine from Tie and Bond was here. He oversaw that with Cliff. I had a meeting with Ed Harkin yesterday morning about a few projects we have going on the hill. We're going to replace the generator in a lift station on Summit Street across from Tom's driveway. And we're going to do some work on the fire pump station at the water tower. And he's going to replace a electrical panel in the lift station. Now, as for the big project for this month, the dam, I want to thank everybody involved, Doug, Deborah, the village office, especially the town of Carver, Billy Lamont, and all the boys. I think they did a wonderful job. It got done as quick as it could have. Along with everything else, they also poured sidewalks and they also blacktopped roads in that time span. Now, it's been a pretty busy month for everybody. And as far as the lack of information goes that some people said that we had about the dam, that was totally my fault. Because when something like that happens, my head gets buried in the sand. I know the process, and I've been reprimanded by DEC before, and I'm not gonna do it again. DEC was my first phone call. We met with three different agencies in DEC. We got it done, and I didn't need any outside interference because I knew the process. Nothing happens. We had an engineer draw up the plan, DEC approved the plan, and the boys initiated the plan to a T. So now it's fixed and it'll fill as soon as we get some rain.
It's coming up now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah.
It's not going to fill till it rains.
No, but it's noticeable.
So while the water was down, we also had Dan Valentine, while he was here in town, start our dam assessment, which has to be done every 10 years. Ours is due in December of 25, but since the dam is like it is now, Doug and I thought it was prudent just to get it done a year early. He's got most of it done. The girls in the office got them all kinds of information. He's got it just about done. He wants to see the dam when the water is 6 inches from going over the top, so he can see if there's any seepage. But other than that, he said everything looked good overall. It wasn't terrible. So, and even DEC said it wasn't terrible. So that's all I have to say on that, and we just hope for some rain now. Jason, you want to give your report?
Yeah, sure. Just ask what. So 1914 is the date of the original dam, and 1914 got revealed. Is that a date?
No.
That's something else. What is that number?
What's what number? When it was built.
It's a what number?
What number are you looking for?
It says 1914 on the dam now that there's no water coming over it. What is that number?
I never even noticed it.
What is it?
There is a cornerstone mark that date, but that's not for when the dam was erected. That's when a top tier of that dam was erected.
Oh.
The original dam was maybe 3 feet tall for the little building that no, that's not like a parking lot next to the rock. We see a building there, a mill,
mm-hmm.
and just a little wood wheel inside a long time ago. And then it seems like every couple decades they build up and build up and build up. So the dam you see now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 1980 was the last time they did any construction on it.
No, it was
the 90s?
It was
it was when I was first on the board, around 1990.
No, 2000.
When we did the
Things, Pollock was mayor.
Yes.
And that was 2000. It was the last time it was worked on.
Well, not worked on, but I mean structural add-ons. There was like a cement cap added on back in the '80s, I think.
Might have been back in the 80s, but they put the bolts in.
But the bolts was in 2000.
2000.
Yeah. Which two bolt? Quick things. I'm Sean, glad you're here. Community Day planning is already beginning in my world anyway, so we're going to be soliciting ideas for dates. I'll speak to the clerks about that. If anybody has any ideas, please let me know. We have to change it. And I am going to look at the playground equipment that's at the old Aquamic School as possibly shifting it over here if it doesn't need a lot of maintenance, so we can put it in one of our playgrounds if we would like to. So
yes,
we'll see. Other than that, just usual work. And I do want to say thank you to you guys. You did a great job with the dam. It was really great teamwork, everybody involved, and it was I was impressed. So thank you for all your hard work. That's it.
Doug.
Okay, so everybody knows that we worked on the dam. I also went to the substance abuse training that was held at the community center, and Deb went too. And I'm working with Skip when he gets back, and we'll finish up on the big truck day, which is going to be November 2nd. So bring your grandkids, your kids, and yourselves, and it'll be a good day. Saturday.
The Saturday?
November 2nd. Saturday,
November
2nd.
Yeah, that's right. I have it.
So we'll do that. And that's about all I've had time for with my other crap going on.
Yeah.
Brian, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Up on the water tower, there is a propane tank there.
Yep.
Does the village DPW know it's there?
Oh, yeah.
They do? That's good.
No, they got to know it's there because that's the heat for the...
I asked a couple of them. They said, no, they're actually... said, no, there's no propane tank up there. I said, well, it's been there for years. And Cliff used to go up there every morning and check it out, make sure the propane was filled. So I don't know when the last time they checked the propane.
They don't have to check it anymore because Harrington's got the propane and they got a sensor on top of the tank that shoots right to the office.
Okay.
They know when it's getting down.
Okay.
But yes, we do know there's a propane tank.
That's good to know.
Did you want to talk about Rice and Lipscomb meeting?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
Me? Go ahead, yeah.
I attended the Narcan training with Doug. That was excellent. From the Columbia Green Addiction Coalition at the community center. And I attended the Climate Smart meeting this month, and I ran the meeting last month while Tom was away. I kept us together until our leader came back, and I attended the Rice and Lipka meeting last week, which was a really interesting meeting and a good meeting. And I worked with residents on streetlights. I also updated the website a bunch. I was involved in a couple of things. I just want to point out that we have a post on the website showing the dam at its low point, and then, you know, the repairs, which are some pretty interesting photos. There's Alan Graciano there going down in the well, and the narrative is there. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that there's an event coming up this Saturday, I think, the 19th, Fall into Head Start and Weatherization. Columbia Opportunities is hosting a family fun day at the Head Start building, which is at 2 Rock Street in Philmont, from 11 to 3 p.m. And there'll be all sorts of fun things for kids to make bracelets, blow bubbles, decorate Polaroid photos. There'll be story time and face painting, and there'll be information about the Head Start preschool. They really would like to get a Philmont group going. And there will also be information about their weatherization programs to help weatherize your buildings, I think, for the winter. So show up, tell people who have kids. It's October 19th, 11 to 3 p.m. And it's on the website. That's it.
Thanks. Correspondence list is on...
Fire report.
Oh, fire report.
17 calls for the month. Usual stuff. The one thing that did happen, I warned everybody, is we had someone stuck in the mud who went too far off in the reservoir. So please be careful. You can't walk that way. You're going to get stuck.
Oof.
The person was fine, but it was scary nonetheless. So,
not the first time it's happened.
No, I'm sure it's not. In fact, well, you know, what's funny is we actually had a conversation the day before with you and some other folks. We were already prepared for it, and it worked out great. So I was really happy about that. So, well, yeah, 17 calls for the month. Relatively
5 months
for us. That's it.
Perfect. All right, now the correspondence. The list is on the table and the hard copies in the office. What's that?
So I did a press release about our achievement, which Deborah has. So how many other people need to see it before it goes out?
Can you print a copy and we can look at it? Yeah.
Okay, so then I'll hear back.
Jess can.
Motions and resolutions.
Motion to set the annual village elections for Tuesday, March 18th, 2025, from noon to 9 p.m. the village hall, to elect two trustees, each for a two-year term, and one mayor for a two-year term.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to approve the emergency contract with tie-in bond for the engineering services for the dam project.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Cody Mossman to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a member.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You weren't a member before?
He was a member before. Cody has been in Mellonville, is that right,
he was
Jeff?
Correct.
And then he's left now. There's been some conversation about that situation with the fire department. We approved him already.
All right. That's fine.
Motion to move the November board meeting to Tuesday, November 12th due to Veterans Day.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Votes. Carried.
Motion to credit count 1530, Dwayne Powell, in the amount of $917.18 for the sewer portion only of the October invoice due to a leak.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize a lease extension with American Tower for the cell tower lease at Forest Lake.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We already made the motion on fuel.
Yep.
Unfinished a new business. I have one thing. First, I'd like to thank Sally and the Ball Committee for the parking lot project and the community center project. It was a fun process. I was involved all the way through. The result was kind of what I had expected. It wasn't shocking. They turned out beautiful project, beautiful pictures, beautiful plan. And we're going to talk about how we're going to get them implemented. Sally, I'll give you a report probably next month after the BOA meeting, BOA committee meeting.
This project is going to win everything.
Yeah.
And so it, on Friday, they won the American Institute of Architects for the chapter. It's a big annual, Westchester and the Hudson Valley, a lot of submissions. And so the project won for community planning, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So how great is that to be starting off developing a project that has already, you know, so the public, the last public open house is on November the 15th. That will be the, we've done six public meetings. And November the 15th in the afternoon in the library because of the reservoir being down. And that will go from, we'll put flyers out, but I think it's going to go from probably like 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 7 Friday. And on that night is the award ceremony. That, so Lynn Rice, he's the principal with Lynn and his wife on the company, Rice and Lepka, he'll be leaving and going down to accept the award. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll be here. But it's an amazing, it was very exciting to get that email from Rice and Lepka on Friday to say that out of the gate.
Yeah.
And it will win, it will keep winning awards.
Oh, it was a nice job. I mean,
and when it's built.
There are very few things that I can say that I couldn't find anything wrong with.
Yeah.
I just...
Yeah. I mean,
it's just the way it is. I mean,
yeah. And it worked really well. It was 11 months, and it just worked mm-hmm. seamlessly. And they were incredible to work with. They're very pleased with, you know, how it worked with Philmont, the PD Inc., and the committee, and the village board, and the, you know, interacting with the community through Zoom, and then going to community day, and are setting up all those pop-up tents for them and making it, you know, bringing in all the people to make it as mm-hmm. seamlessly, you know, easy for them. And they're really pleased, and it's, you know, it reflects every single meeting. It was like, and I think that produced, helped with the incredible designs, right? Mm-hmm. And he was so energized, you know, and committed to that site, you know, and he's done a great site for the downtown parking lot, and you know, involving the holding ponds, you know, it's pretty awesome. So it's exciting. It's a big project, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's super exciting to at least be starting out on the right foot.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks.
And what, Sally? What's the November 15th? Is the public? What are you calling it?
It's basically called an open house. It'll be an exhibition of all of, again, very similar to Community Day, but, you know, it will be the final designs, and then they'll actually show the 11 months, the progression, you know, of where it all started, community input, how that input, you know, fed into the designs, the conversations with the director of the community center, Jess Ott.
And you'll send me some language for the website to get that up on the website.
Yeah, I'll do a flyer. I'm not quite there yet because we only actually got this confirmed on Friday. We were with the lake coming down, you know, and then the library board had to meet to make it okay for us to, you know, the time to put the exhibition up. So I'll be sending, you know, press release obviously and language and flyer.
I just had a question for you. Whenever I was called away, we were going to do the last assignment. Were you able to do that?
I did do the last assignment, but I didn't meet with Lee.
Okay. So.
I forgot the last assignment.
You can fill me in on Lee and then.
Yeah.
Yes, we can work on. Yeah, Chrissy started working on it.
Okay.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I can try to work with Chrissy on it.
Either, yeah, we'll probably do it as a group thing. But yeah, she definitely tried to do what she could to get it started.
All right, so then we should probably meet, not this week, next week, one afternoon, or one morning.
Next week probably will work.
Yeah, this week's shot.
I think the whole end of October, so yeah. Last week I'll be gone.
All right. Anybody got anything else? I get a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Good night, Phil.